will read today's Bible passage from the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. The first half of the Beatitudes. Now I'll read. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That is all. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your amazing name. This week we thank you for allowing us to be able to come before you and to be able to sing to you and to worship you. We're very thankful. Dear Lord, we know that you are always with us and that you are aware of all of our needs and satisfy them. We thank you for this. In Japan nowadays, there's a lot of different political issues arising. And there's high prices as well that are affecting many people and causing much anxiety. In such times, Lord, we ask that you watch over our political leaders as there's election upcoming. And we pray that there will be a really good leader who is elected to provide guidance for this country. We ask for your blessings as well, Lord. We're about to hear a message today from Pastor Joey Anjiki. We ask, Lord, that our hearts be able to completely understand the message it is that you want to tell us and that we can be able to utilize this in our lives. Please provide us with guidance in that manner. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today we'll be hearing a message from God from the passage that was read just a moment ago from the book of Matthew. Just a while ago, there was a person by the name of Kelly McGonigal, and he wrote a book called The Upside of Stress, which was a textbook used at Stanford. There was something really interesting that was included in this book. It was an experiment that was done at the University of by the psychologist by David Eager at the Texas University. And he said that he wanted to look into how impactful words could be in people's lives and if it could really change their lives. So he did this experiment in San Francisco, California, USA, where there was about 3/4 of the students who lived in poverty and about 40% of them were scared to go to school due to gangs and so on. It was a very difficult circumstances that they were trying to go to school in. At this school, David just randomly chose some of the students in the classes and spent a 30-minute time period teaching them on the topic of how people can be changed. People can change their lives. So first, he told the students a new way of thinking. He was telling them that the future them doesn't mean that it's the present themselves. So even if you are thought of being a bad person right now, it doesn't necessarily true that that will continue for the rest of your life because you can change. And then he had them read the story of somebody who's had their life changed and asked them to write down any types of examples of people they knew that their people of their lives had changed their lives. So you would think what could be really accomplished in just a 30-minute lecture of such a sort. And actually during the class, there was even a teacher at the school saying, it's a waste of your time to come teach these students such things. You should have, you know, teach younger kids like elementary school students. If these guys are already high school students, like there's no way they're going to change their lives. However, after this 30-minute class, it did actually make a big difference in those students' lives. They became psychologically stable, and compared to other students at school, they had less health issues as well. And compared to those who didn't participate in the class, who were suffering from depression, about 58% of them, it was found that actually 81% of these students were able to pass their classes. So even though it was a short period of time, they were introduced to a different type of value system, and that there was hope for their lives, and it did really make an impact on them. The Bible is the world's best-selling book, and it will likely continue to be that way. There's no other book that is even close in comparison. So why is it that the Bible has such a huge impact on people and continues to be such widely read? It's because all of the values that are told in the Bible and the story of the gospel actually does change people's lives. In today's passage, we're looking at how Jesus is teaching us really important concepts. The passage today is looking at the first half of the Beatitudes, which is a portion of a very long sermon he gave on a mountain. And of these, the first four explain about the person's relationship with God, and the second half, the last four, relate to blessings in regards to people and other people. So we're looking at, once again today, at the first half of the Beatitudes and how it speaks of blessing for in the perspective of that from God to man. Let's look at the first one. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Generally, if you're thinking if someone has a poor heart, what do you think? You think, oh, Takara, you have a poor heart. Would you say thank you? Well, maybe Takara would say something like that, but usually people wouldn't respond in such a way. They have a negative aspect of this, and they think, oh, that means you're narrow-minded or something. However, the meaning here for poor in spirit is different. Poor here means something that is more religious related, in that you know your weaknesses and you know that you need to be desiring God. Generally speaking, most people believe in their own power and their own will force, and they do whatever they can on their own accord. And they change that into their energy, and then that's just how they live their lives. However, in today's passage, Jesus says something different. He says that human strength has a limit to it, and you need to realize that, and anyone who realizes that and depends on God is blessed. What is it that causes people to become a Christian? What is it that caused you to start coming to church and to actually have faith in God? I went to a certain church and there was about 100 people there, and I actually asked a question there. There was all kinds of different answers to it. Some people said that they became a Christian because they grew up in a Christian home. Others said that they wondered if God was there and if there was a meaning to life, and they, out of curiosity, they started to go to church, and that's how they came to faith in God. And there were some other stories as well, like a wife who was just forced their husband to come to church, and so on. There was even a university student who watched the Sister Act movie and then wanted to go to church because of that. But I said that there were no Catholic sisters at the Protestant church, so it was unfortunate. But anyway, So about 70% of the people of the church that I went to and asked the question actually said that they came to faith in Christ when they were faced with a very difficult situation in their lives where there was nothing that they could do, and they just kind of gave up and went to church, and then they came to faith in Christ. It's likely that perhaps many of you have come to church and professed faith in Christ through a difficulty you faced. To meet up with, meet God, is something that can be caused by difficulties you've faced within your family or friends or workplace, perhaps. And then you realize that you do actually need God in your life. In our lives, the one thing that we cannot solve on our own problem is that of death. Death will come to everyone at some point in time equally. There's nobody who can just escape this fate. I'll give you a quiz. Of these three people, please tell me what their common thing is. The first, the Emperor of the King, Hideyoshi Toyotomi, and Freezer of Dragon Ball. Of these three people, they all tried to be great people. And there is various records of this. But they were also scared of death and tried to avoid it. But what happened in the end? Were they able to evade death? Recently on the YouTube, there's a certain type of lectures that are being told, and there's documentaries as well. For example, there's even TV programs about this as well. But it's about people who are trying to get out of dying, but they can't, regardless of how much authority or power or money people have. They still just cannot avoid death. With your awareness of death, you can realize that it is darkness until you turn your eyes to the true God, and then you can have hope for faith, hope for salvation and going to heaven through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took all of our sin upon himself on the cross, died, and was buried. He was resurrected, resolving this problem. So anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and that he is their Savior, they can have their sins forgiven and then have hope for eternal life, hope for heaven after death here on from earth. This is what the hope Jesus gives us. In the hospital, there is a Christian doctor by the name of Tetsuo Kashiwagi who looked over about 2,500 people over his time there. And in one lecture, he said the following. He said that there are two types of attitudes people have toward death. One is a fear of death, and the other one is that of peace. And what is the difference between these two people? It's the difference is whether the people have hope for heaven or not after they die. So if you have hope for heaven, then these people the doctor looked after were able to face death in a peaceful manner. Jesus said the following. He says that the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People face various difficult things and problems in their life and then have to die at the end of it. But when they realize that they need God, then they can be saved. Let's look at the second beatitude, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So this mourning people isn't just difficult things in life that you face, but rather your attitude towards sin. If you are very aware of your sin and sensitive to your nature of it, then you will be blessed, it says, because they can easily turn to God for forgiveness. It's difficult, though, for us to actually notice the sin in our lives at times. And sometimes we just try to justify it if we're called out on something. Adam and Eve actually were the first to sin. And when Adam said to God that it was this woman you gave me, Eve, her sin, her fault that I sinned, he tried to justify it. We too have such a nature. And you can see that in even just simple things. For example, if there is a cup of water on the table in front of you and you knock it over, what do you say? Who put this here? Right? It's not, and you're not blaming yourself. You're blaming the person who put it there. Or if your throat is a little sore, you say something to your family, right? You're like, who gave me this cold? Who gave this to me? You don't even acknowledge that maybe you picked it up somewhere. And if you get lost on the road, you blame it on your car navigation system, and you just blame all kinds of little things on other people or other things. And even when you make big mistakes, you do the same thing too. For example, if you have an affair, you blame your spouse for not being more acute to your needs, or blaming your company for something, then you blame them for not paying you enough, or you for stalkers. You blame the person is blamed for not loving them in return. So you try to justify all kinds of difficult or terrible things that you do. In the 1900s in Chicago, there was a person by the name of Al Capone. He was part of the mafia. He was a wide user of illicit liquor, gambling, prostitution, and even hired people to kill others. However, how did he think about himself? In his older years, he looked back on his life and said that he had devoted most of his life to helping people. And what did he get in return? Public criticism and a mark of a wanted man. This sounds really strange because he actually thought he was a philanthropist. People have a really difficult time seeing their own sin. But when we look into the Bible, the words of the Bible can actually bring about the sin that we have in our lives. In Hebrews 4:12, it says the following, "For the word of God is active, alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." When we read the Bible and we see that standard and measure our heart up to it, we can really see that we really have a sin issue in our lives. Jesus said that we all have this kind of sin nature, and that if we're aware of it and mourn over it, then we will be blessed, because we can come to know the salvation through Jesus on the cross. Jesus loves us, and he is able to truly free us from this sin problem by his salvation given on the cross. When we receive this salvation, we truly can be comforted. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor, and blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Let's look at the third point that Jesus teaches. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So what is this? What are these meek people here? Is it just like gentle people who are smiling all the time? No, it's talking actually about the relationship of a person with God. So to have a meek stance in your relationship with God, what does that mean? It means that you just honestly intake whatever it is God tells you, regardless of what the world says. You make your decision to follow God. In the media, there's many days when they focus on people who are very talented or have all these abilities but fall into sin. They cross the line, and then it seems they don't realize what they've done. There's a person by the name of Matsuo Iwata who's a businessman. He has a great work history. He graduated from Osaka University, worked at an automobile factory, and then became the president of the Purikura sticker company. You may know that from several years ago. He became the president of the body shop, and then he also eventually became the CEO of Starbucks Coffee Japan. He's not a Christian, but he mentioned the following in his book. When you become a leader, you have a lot more authority. You've got a lot more money and a lot more things you need to do. And you need to realize a lot of people be looking up to and depending on you. So you'll be tempted in a sense when you have more money to deal with in such authority. In order to deal head up with these temptations, he recommends that you really have a plan, and that when you are tempted by something, you need to have the stance that you may think nobody's watching, but they are. And he says that he himself always just pretends somebody's looking at him, and then he doesn't do something that in Japan, in history, it's said that the people always tell others that, you know, the gods are looking after you or gods are looking at you. So that actually distracted people from doing something bad. So he even realizes that there is someone being watched, which is true because God is. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus is always with us. He is always looking at us. And having that perspective on life is really important. However, for people who just think there's a God out there looking at them and us knowing that Jesus is with us, that is a complete different thing. Because just thinking there's some general God out there watching you, you would think that type of perspective is God is just like laser dart looking down on you and just trying to nail you every time you do something wrong. That's what a lot of people probably think. But the image we have of Jesus Christ is not that. We know that Jesus is a God of love. And when we're aware of God and his perspective and want to follow him, it's not because we're afraid of what he's going to do to us if we do something bad, but rather that we know that he gave his life for us and that we want to follow him and respond to his love in light of what he has done for us. And in that way, we want to avoid temptation and do the right thing. People who just directly obey God can actually have great testimonies and be blessed a lot in reward. Once again, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Let's look at the fourth and final point from Jesus today. Verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled." So to be these people here who are hungry and thirsty, it's in respect to religious matters. It's not that salvation is the goal and that you stop growing at that. In Hebrews 5:12, it says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." In this way, you can see how it's really a waste if people don't continue to grow in their faith when after they're saved. Those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness means that they're not just saved, but they want to be changed into the image of Jesus, and they're actively pursuing that. Those of us who've accepted the salvation of the cross have a huge goal in our lives. It's to be changed into the image of God and to be like him. That's our great goal. Paul actually said the following in Philippians 3:12, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me." Paul was a very good example to us for many ways. He bared a lot of fruit in his life. However, even he said that he wanted to know Jesus more and that he hadn't arrived at his goal. And in pursuing that, he acknowledges that Jesus Christ will respond to him. So we can learn from Paul that we can too desire to be like Jesus more and more. To have the desire to be like Jesus is something really important. And it's important to know more about Jesus in order to accomplish it through devotions daily and contact through the Bible and praying as well. We can also experience Jesus as we learn more about him. Through doing this, we can be guided by the Holy Spirit who is in us and be recreated as well. In the end, we too can bear much great fruit and become more like Jesus Christ. We have hope for that. I would like to tell one more story before I close. In the 1960s, there was a movement to get rid of racism in the U.S., and there was a civil rights movement. A young white youth participated in this, and the TV interviewed him asking why he'd chosen to participate in this even though he was white. He said he didn't know why he was saying no to racism. He grew up in a white family, and he wasn't taught to not be racist. But he just says that he was taught to love Jesus Christ, and that was his reason for participating in the civil rights movement. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Today we've looked at the first half of the Beatitudes. Of the eight, we've looked at the first four. As I just said, the Bible is the best-selling book in the world. And the teaching of the Bible, especially like the Beatitudes, have actually changed a lot of people's lives. And if you look at bookstores today, you can see that there's all kinds of like self-help books and books about how to improve your life if you read them. Many of them actually seem to be concepts taken from the Bible, a lot of them from the Beatitudes. However, the problem is that people eliminate the element of faith, and then it just becomes moral teaching. However, we need to turn our eyes toward Jesus. And Jesus tells us that in order to receive true happiness is to have a true relationship with the real living God. And in that way, that will be the basis for what we experience here on earth. We can be reminded of that from today's passage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We've looked at the passage of the first half of the Beatitudes and Jesus' teaching on the mountain. We can remember that those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled. When we are humble before God and turn our eyes to him, we can be filled with his grace and be blessed in return. And we thank you, God, for that. in this coming week, Lord. We ask that in the various places you have us placed, that we can be examples of your love toward others. Please, Lord, use us to show it in that way. Please provide us guidance in such a manner. We thank you and pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please let me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, this week, and forevermore. Amen. That concludes today's service. We do have a few announcements, so please refer to the screen in front. Today, after the service, we will have a curry lunch. You're welcome to stay and enjoy some curry. If you have some extra time, if you could help set up tables in the sanctuary, that will allow people to sit down and enjoy their curry. We're going to have the JoJoAnn event today for women, and those participating are welcome to enjoy that in the sanctuary. This coming Wednesday on the 22nd, when we have the prayer meeting, Faith will be sharing her testimony. You're welcome to come listen. This is next Saturday. It's going to be the UICS Culture Festival put on by the International Church School here at the church. So we encourage you to come and watch what they are preparing to show. On November 3rd, Sunday, a national holiday, there will be an event for youth worship here at the church. There's going to be a guest speaker. It's myself. I'm not going to rap, though. sorry, the picture's a little confusing. As we explained last week, the parking lots are kind of crowded, and it's difficult for people to find parking spaces, and some people are actually going back home because they can't find a parking space. Up until now, we've had 5 parking lots available, but actually there's another one that's at the Cahoe Preschool that's just beyond the furthest parking lot. If you go back behind the preschool, there is a parking lot there that we aren't allowed to use on weekdays because of their schooling, but on Sundays we are allowed to use it. So if you're able to walk a little bit to the church, we encourage you to please use that and allow the closer parking lots, especially the closest one, for those who have small children or have difficulty walking. Thank you for your cooperation. This is the Photo Club's calendar for 2026 that is for sale for 750 yen. UCLA's second term has started. You're welcome to participate in that, even if it's partway through the term. Today we have a Christmas book fair that's taking place in the salon. Fukushima-san has a few of things she would like to share with us today. Hello, everyone. My name is Fukushima of the bookstore. I work in Maebashi at the Maebashi Hallelujah bookstore, and I'm fortunate to be able to come and see you once a month here at the Minamachi Christ Church. Thank you so much for all of your support. I really enjoy the books that are sold, and know that God is using various Christian books to reach people for Christ in Japan. I am very blessed to be part of this. And in my older years, I'm glad that God has presented me with this opportunity to do such a task. Today we have the Christmas book fair going on. And not just the regular books in stock, but also various goods and calendars and daybook planners and all kinds of things have been brought here to